Akashvani presents Morning News. Good morning, I'm Sanjay Mattu. The headlines. Campaigning for assembly elections in Haryana to end this evening. Election Commission bans release of exit polls until 6:30 p.m. on Saturday. President Draupadi Murmu to be on a two-day visit to Rajasthan beginning today. Junior doctors take out mega protest march in Kolkata on Mahalay, demanding justice for R.G. Kar Medical College victim. Navratri, nine-day-long festival to worship goddess Durga, begins today with religious fervour and gaiety. Global air travel faces significant disruptions as tensions escalate in West Asia. And in cricket, ICC Women's T20 World Cup to begin today in Sharjah, UAE. Campaigning for assembly elections in Haryana will end today. The single-phase polling for the 90-member Haryana Assembly will be held on Saturday. The counting of votes will be taken up on the 8th of October, along with Jammu and Kashmir. On the last day of campaigning, Uttar Pradesh Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath will address public rallies at Kalayat and Safido Assembly constituencies. Chief Minister of Assam, Himanta Biswa Sarma, will participate in a roadshow and public rally to support BJP candidate Asim Goyal, who is contesting from Ambala City constituency. Congress leader Rahul Gandhi will address public meetings at Nuh, Mahindagarh, Ateli and Narnaul assembly constituencies, while party leader Dipinder Singh Hooda will campaign in Bhiwani, Sirsa, Hisar and Yamunanagar districts. Indian National Lok Dal leader Abhay Singh Chautala will be campaigning at Dabwali and Elenabad assembly constituencies. Meanwhile, the Election Commission has banned release of exit polls for the Haryana Assembly elections until 6:30 p.m. on October 5, the day of polling. The ban includes any publication or dissemination of exit polls via print, electronic media or any other means. Violators may face imprisonment and fines. The Ambala Cant Assembly constituency is one of the 90 constituencies in the Haryana Legislative Assembly. It is an unreserved seat and comes under the Ambala Lok Sabha constituency. More from our correspondent.
All eyes are on the high-profile contest in the Ambala Cant constituency as former Home Minister of the state and BJP senior leader Anil Vij is one of the 11 candidates contesting. The six-time legislature will have Congress rebel and now independent candidate Chitra Sarwara, Congress Parvinder Pal Pari as main rivals. Indian National Lok Dal's Omkar Singh, Aam Aadmi Party's Raj Kaur Gill and Jan Nayak Janata Party's Avtar Singh are also in fray this time. 194 polling booths are set up in Ambala Cant Assembly constituency. Akanksha Saxena, Akashvani News, Chandigarh.
The BJP will start releasing the five key points of its manifesto for the upcoming assembly elections in Jharkhand from today. Talking to reporters in Ranchi, Jharkhand Assembly Election Co-in-Charge and Assam Chief Minister Himanta Biswa Sarma said the party manifesto will be released in a phased manner. Mr. Sarma added the party will release a 25-point manifesto in view of 25 years of creation of the Jharkhand state. Finally, the party will come up with 150 commitments for development of the state ahead of the 150th birth anniversary of Bhagwan Birsa Munda. Elections to the 81-member Jharkhand Assembly elections are due later this year. President Draupadi Murmu will be on a two-day visit to Rajasthan beginning today. During her visit, the President will attend the 32nd convocation of the Mohanlal Sukhadia University at Udaipur. Tomorrow, the President will attend a global summit on the theme Spirituality for Clean and Healthy Society, being organized by the Prajapita Brahma Kumari's Ishwarya Vishwa Vidyalaya at Mount Abu. On the same day, President Murmu will also be present in the Adi Gaurav Samman Samaroh organized by the Rajasthan government. Union Home Minister Amit Shah will visit Gujarat today. During his visit, Mr. Shah is scheduled to launch several projects in his parliamentary constituency, Gandhinagar. Mr. Shah will inaugurate and lay the foundation stones of development projects worth over 446 crore rupees of the Ahmedabad Municipal Corporation. Mr. Shah will also address BJP workers at a Karyakarta Sammelan near Sanand in Ahmedabad. He's also scheduled to inaugurate the newly built office building of the Ahmedabad Police Commissioner in Shahibagh. In the evening, the minister will kick off the vibrant Gujarat Navratri festival organized by Gujarat Tourism at the GMDC ground in Ahmedabad. He'll also attend three other Navratri events in Ahmedabad. Tomorrow, Mr. Shah will attend several programs, including one at Mahatma Mandir in Gandhinagar, to mark the 100th anniversary of the ADC Bank. The Union Ministry of Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises has announced that the 25% increase in the wages of spinners and the 7% increase in the wages of loom weavers have come into effect yesterday. This announcement was made on the 17th of last month. The chairman of the Khadi and Village Industries Commission, Manoj Kumar, stated that spinners who previously earned 10 rupees per hank will now receive 12.50 rupees. In West Bengal, thousands of junior doctors, joined by people from all walks of life, took out a mega protest march on the occasion of Mahale in Kolkata, demanding justice for the rape and murder victim of the state-run R.G. Kar Medical College and Hospital. The protest march, which took place yesterday, was organized by the Bengal Junior Doctors Front. The protesters later gathered on the banks of the Ganga, lighting 1,000 diyas as a symbolic act in the fight for justice. The protest marks a fresh escalation of the doctors' ongoing agitation for improved safety measures for healthcare workers. Junior doctors vowed to continue their protest till the government acted decisively. Meanwhile, a statue christened Abhaya was unveiled on the R.G. Kar Medical Hospital premises, while the agitating doctors claimed is a symbol of the ghastly act that occurred on August 9 and also of the ongoing protests demanding justice. This statue is not of the victim, but a symbol of the pain and torture she went through and the ongoing protests, junior doctors of the hospital told reporters. This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at the rate AIR News Alerts. Navratri, the nine-day-long festival to worship goddess Durga, begins today with religious fervour and gaiety across India. Each of the 9 days is dedicated to a different form of goddess Durga. On the first day, Devi Durga is worshipped as Shailaputri. In Gujarat, devotees are visiting the Shakti Peeths, including the most revered Ambaji Temple in Banaskantha and Mahakali Temple in Pavagarh. A report from our correspondent.
The festival of Navratri is celebrated by lighting the traditional lamp called Garbo, observing 9-day fast and performing various religious rituals like Ghar Sthapan and Havan. With the beginning of Navratri, the state has also geared up for the Ras Garba celebrations. This year, the state government has lifted the curbs on the celebration timings at both commercial and residential venues, adding more enthusiasm to the celebrations. However, the government has appealed people to control the DJ volumes, especially near hospital areas. Aparna Khund, Akash.
In Uttar Pradesh, devotees have thronged Devi temples across the state to celebrate the first day of Navratri. More from our correspondent.
Ya Devi Sarvabhuteshu Shakti Rupen Sansthita Namastasyai 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 Namo Namaha. Devotees across the state are chanting such mantras to get the blessings of the Shailputri form of Goddess Durga today on the first day of Navratri. Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath will also perform Kalash Sthapana at Gorakhnath Temple today. Devotees are reaching in large numbers at famous Shakti Peets of Vindhyachal and Devi Patan Temple to worship. The guidelines issued by state government says that while granting permission for the establishment of Durga Puja Pandal and Ram Lila stage, care should be taken that public traffic is not affected. Sushil Chandra Tiwari, Akashwani News, Lucknow.
In Bihar, flood waters of the Kosi and Gandak rivers are traversing towards new areas, inundating several villages in Saharsa, Darbhanga, Madhubani and Khagaria districts. An alert has been sounded in the Kosi and Simanchal regions in view of the forecast of heavy rainfall in Nepal in the next 24 hours. All the rivers which wreak flood havoc in these regions are directly impacted by rainfall in Nepal. Out of 38 districts in the state, 17 are affected by flood. Around 15 lakh people are reeling under the fury of the flood. Israel Defense Forces has confirmed that some of its air bases were hit during Iran's missile attack on the country. However, the military emphasized that no significant damage was sustained and the Israeli Air Force's operations remain unaffected. More from our correspondent.
According to Israeli Defense Force reports, the missile strikes damaged office buildings and maintenance areas within the bases. Despite the impacts, all were classified as ineffective, causing no harm to the continuous operation of the Israeli Air Force. The military stated that no damage was inflicted to fighter jets, drones, aircrafts, munitions or critical infrastructure. The IDF highlighted the attack's ineffectiveness by noting that the IAF continued its operations in the hours following the assault. These operations included major strikes against Hezbollah in Beirut, support for ground forces in southern Lebanon and strikes in Gaza. Vinod Kumar for Akashvani News, Dubai.
Meanwhile, Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian stated that Iran was not looking for war, but warned of a stronger response if Israel retaliates. Global air travel is facing significant disruptions as tensions escalate in West Asia. According to Flight Radar 24 data, airlines worldwide are diverting or cancelling flights, while regional airports in Lebanon, Israel and Kuwait are experiencing long delays. In response to recent events, the European Union Aviation Safety Agency has advised all European airlines to avoid Iranian airspace. The advisory, effective until the end of this month, warns carriers against flying in Iranian airspace at any altitude. These developments have far-reaching effects, with reports indicating that approximately 85% of departures from Dubai International Airport, a major global hub, are currently delayed as airlines scramble to reroute flights away from West Asia. The ninth edition of the ICC Women's T20 World Cup will begin today in Sharjah, UAE. The opening match will feature Bangladesh against debutant Scotland. More from our correspondent.
The final few grains of sand are falling in the hourglass ahead of the Women's T20 World Cup. Captain Harmanpreet Kaur will be leading India's campaign starting against New Zealand tomorrow. The highly anticipated and fan-favorite India vs. Pakistan match is scheduled for this Sunday. India is carrying a spin-heavy bowling arsenal to the stage, with Deepti Sharma, Radha Yadav, Sanjana Sajeevan, Asha Sobhna Joy, Tanuja Kanwar and Shreyanka Patil. The team has versatility and effectiveness in its ranks. Australia, the defending champions who have won the last three T20 World Cups, are in Group A alongside India, New Zealand, Pakistan and Sri Lanka. Group B includes Bangladesh, England, Scotland, South Africa and the West Indies. The Indian women's team has yet to hold the trophy at an ICC event, making this tournament a significant opportunity for the women in blue. With Shivani Kashyap, this is Chirag Jha, Akashwani News, Delhi.
A total of 10 teams will participate in the event, which will conclude on the 20th of this month. The second edition of the Global Chess League will take place in London from today. It's a joint initiative between the International Chess Federation and Tech Mahindra. It'll be a six-team double round-robin event. Six members will play in each team, comprising an icon, two male, two female, and one prodigy under the age of 21 years. Some of the key players include five-time world champion and current world number one, Magnus Carlsen, former world champion Vishwanathan Anand, and world number two, Hikaru Nakamura. The other Indians, apart from Anand taking part in this event, are R. Pragananda, Arjun Erigesi, Vidit Gujarati, R. Vaishali, Koneru Hampi and Harika Dronavalli. The 10-day franchise chess tournament will conclude on the 12th of this month. And now for a look at today's newspapers, it's over to Sarabjit Kaur.
Thank you, Sanjay. The tense situation in West Asia in the wake of Iran's missile attack on Israel gets front-page attention in all the dailies. The Hindustan Times writes, Israel vows retaliation as Iran warns of more painful attack. The Hindu observes, India calls for restraint as West Asia crisis escalates. The Asian Age takes note of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's visit to Jharkhand. It quotes the Prime Minister as saying, JMM's politics led to Hindu Adivasi's decline. The U.S. Vice presidential debate between Republican candidate J.D. Vance and Democratic candidate Tim Walz is highlighted in all the papers. The Asian Age reports in VP debate, Vance refuses to admit Trump lost 2020 poll. And with that, it's back to you, Sanjay.
Thank you, Sarabjit. And now before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. Campaigning for assembly elections in Haryana to end this evening, Election Commission bans release of exit polls until 6:30 p.m. on Saturday. President Draupadi Murmu to be on a two-day visit to Rajasthan beginning today. Junior doctors take out mega protest march in Kolkata on Mahale, demanding justice for R.G. Kar Medical College victim. Navratri, nine-day-long festival to worship goddess Durga, begins today with religious fervour and gaiety. And in cricket, ICC Women's T20 World Cup to begin today in Sharjah, UAE. And with that, we end the morning news. Have a nice day.